For a long time, there has been a great deal of information, misinformation, disinformation, anti-information, fairy tales, folk tales, folklore, truth, fantasy, fiction, about myself as a being who walked upon the earth. Now, as the channel said, an important skill for you to learn as beings who walk upon the earth is to learn to listen to what is in your heart. For in your heart you have, you might say, a truth meter that will tell you whether something is false, sort of true, getting a little more true, to completely true. Now, this truth meter, if you will, in your heart, is perhaps the most useful tool you can develop for your own spiritual development, for your own emotional growth, for your own ability to sail upon the seas of reality in this particular dimensional manifestation. Because in this, on this planet, you have a great deal of information, misinformation, disinformation, fantasy, folklore, folk tales, about a large number of things, about just about everything. In fact, there's very little that is actually what you would call scientific fact. So much of it is really more a matter of opinion. Scientifically presented sometimes, but it is nonetheless opinion. And as opinion, you might say that it is a matter of belief. As a matter of belief, we connect into the mechanism of how you create your reality and how you are creating what you are living within is a combination of your intentions, your thoughts and beliefs, your hopes, your wishes. And if you say, if you multiply that by 6 billion people, more or less, that's 6 billion and 1, 6 billion and 2, then you have what could be a confusing, conflicting picture of what the world is and what the world is about. You read in your newspapers, you see on your television, you hear on the radio, you get through your internet, through email, you get stories told to you. Now you may say that your media isn't telling you stories, they're reporting the truth, but the fact is that most of what your media reports is a story. It is a story told with a certain filter or bias, with a certain agenda, whether with good intentions or bad, with a certain slant, if you will. And there are the stories that are not told at all, and that in itself is a bias or a filter. So who do you trust? What do you rely upon? Some people have good intentions and are telling the truth as well as they can. Some people, their intentions are, you know, maybe a little less good, and they tell the truth as far as it serves them, and then they add a bit of spice of untruth, disinformation, anti-truth. You trust yourself, that's the answer. You learn to trust yourself. You learn to trust your truth meter in your heart. You learn to trust what your heart tells you is true. You learn to read a story and to feel into it, say in a newspaper, and to feel the energy of the person who wrote the story, to feel what their intentions are by both their choice of words, subtle or blatant, by the choice of things they're choosing to report, and what the holes are that they haven't reported. And also you can read the energy of the entity, if you will, of the newspaper as a whole, the corporation, the company, the owners, the editors, I guess in reverse order, the editors and then the owners. Because all along there are sets of intentions and sets of agendas. And these intentions, these agendas, are in every communication. No, I take that back. They're in most communications. Most people on the media level have some kind of agenda. There are some who do not. Now, on the individual level, there are people who have agendas and some who don't. There are some who have an item that they wish to, an axe to grind, if you will, that they wish to grind on certain topics, but others, their reporting, if you will, is more neutral. All of this you can learn to sense, to feel, to see energetically by learning to listen to your own internal guidance, that compass in your heart that points to true north, if you will. This is perhaps the most important thing in this world. The second most important thing that you can learn. The most important thing, I think, is to learn that you have a choice. And we will get into that in a moment. You do live in an area where free will is more free, if you will. And yes, to answer the question about the CDs and the energy is energy, whether it is recorded digitally or analog, and the energy is still there. Now, to learn your own internal compass might take a bit of doing if you have in your head many voices that are saying you should do this or you should do that, or going back to you can always trust a scientist, for example, because scientists are supposed to be objective, are they not? Well, yes, but they're not. They are people too. And scientists have their own filters and biases and agendas. Some don't believe in spirit at all, and they think that we are slabs of meat walking around, and when we die, that's it. Well, they're in for a big surprise. And most of them do know better at a certain level. But it is a safe belief to hold when you are holding fear in your heart concerning your own actions. If you are afraid that you might have to be accountable or responsible for your own actions, it's a little bit more comforting to think that you won't, and that there is no accountability. This is a difficulty with the scientific approach. is that it has tended not to have accountability as one of its strong supporting timbers, if you will, so that scientists have gladly explored in certain areas, such as genetic manipulation, without understanding that there is a spiritual component to everything. And tinkering with things without understanding the overarching connections. Well, just be glad that you live on this planet because it is vastly protected and there is a lot that you are protected from. Now, having said that about listening to yourself and learning to trust yourself, I was starting on the topic of how do you learn to trust yourself. Becoming more conscious, so easy to say. Becoming more conscious of what your beliefs are is a good start. Do you believe that scientists can be trusted, or do you believe that scientists cannot be trusted? Because that is also a belief. Do you believe that if it's written down, it must be true? Has someone sent you an email recently that said that if you don't forward it to 20 people in the next 20 hours, you're going to have bad luck? How much do you believe of that? We could go into urban legends, but we won't. The simplest thing to do would be to simply develop a habit of questioning, of just asking simple questions. The who, what, when, where, why, how works very well. Who is delivering this message? What is the message that they are trying to deliver, both on top and underneath? You could also perhaps ask, what is their motivation? What is their intention? Does it feel like this message is trying to make me more afraid? Or does it feel like this message, even though it might be reporting events that are sad or that could be considered fearful, does the message have a way of dealing with that in a loving way? Really, it kind of boils down to that. Is it fear or is it love that this message is coming from? If it's fear, it does not mean that there isn't some truth to the message. But it might mean that you can look at it with a jaundiced eye and say, well, I can see that they're trying to promote fear, but what positive thing can I get from this message? Or do I just need to discard this message entirely? So learning to ask yourself those questions. Some of you want the rest of them. All right, who's giving the message? What is the intention behind the message? And what is the message? Those are two important ones there. When was the message sent? When would it be appropriate for this message to be acted upon would be another good question to ask there. Where? Two things. Where would it be appropriate to act upon the message, if anywhere? And the answer might be nowhere. But also where in a more metaphorical sense is, where am I at reading this message? But that could also be, what am I feeling? It doesn't have to just be one for each of them. Why? Why is the message being sent? Why am I reading it? Why did the message come into my knowledge space? That's a good one. Why did this person send the message? If it's a story in a newspaper, why did they write this article? I would like to promote the idea that there is no such thing as an accident. I'm not the first one to have said this. And that if there is information there in your space, there is a reason for it, but the reason could be just as simple as you learning how to discern from that message. And the content of the message itself might be irrelevant in any other context, except that you look at it and you say to yourself, I can see that this person was completely biased in this and this and this way. And they are trying to, by using these kinds of words and this kind of phrasing, they are trying to convince me to also be biased in that way. And it could be that the content itself is nothing. I think we've answered those. We could say more, but this is a good start. Many of you are already familiar to a certain extent or other with the whole concept of expressing discernment. It is not the same as judgment. Judgment is assigning a good, bad value to it. Discernment is simply saying, this is something I do not prefer to experience, or this is something I do wish to experience. For example, the rattlesnake. The rattlesnake, in its natural environment, is a healthy, wholesome being that is part of its natural environment. However, if you get too close to it, you will get bitten, most likely. Might not. Might have some kind of spiritual connection and communication with the rattlesnake, but let's not go there. You might get bitten, you might be poisoned, you might die, you might not, it depends. But it would be unpleasant to be bitten by a rattlesnake. The young ones are more dangerous because they have no sense of proportion and they will inject you with as much of their poison as they can get into you. The older ones kind of assess the danger and if they're just trying to scare you off, they might not inject you with much poison. Little rattlesnake fact for those of you who might be in the desert. The little ones are the ones to watch out for. Nonetheless, it is an unpleasant experience and you would probably prefer to give the rattlesnake a respectful distance. But you're not judging the rattlesnake. It's just a snake. Nothing wrong with it. It's not bad. It's not good. It's it. You just prefer not to have the rattlesnake experience. In the same way, you can express discernment about everything in your life, about people, about kinds of people, about messages, kinds of messages, sorts of work, actions, activities, the spoken word, books, movies, everything. For instance, the channel does not like to go to horror films. She prefers not to have the horror experience. That's not judging them, that's just saying she doesn't like it. It's very hard to crawl out from under the seats. It's so sticky under there. But other people like it, that's fine. She has the option not to participate in it, and so she chooses not to. Just so you can choose to participate or not in anything without judgment. You can choose to say, I do want this experience. You can choose to say, I don't. You can say, this person's intentions are not the kind of intentions I like being around. For instance, someone who has a very large axe to grind about some issue and they're always grinding that axe in your presence and you just don't feel good being around that energy, then you can say, I prefer not to be in a very large axe grinding experience without saying that that person is bad or wrong. Of course, you're also free to express yourself to that person and say that you feel uncomfortable around it or, you know, however, you know, get off it already, you know, whatever you want to say to them. But it's depending on your own temperament, of course. But it's a choice. One moment. There really is a point to all of this that has to do with me. I haven't lost sight of it. We're wandering. No, we actually are heading straight down. Having said all of that, I am going to say that when you read the Bible, for example, or other books written about the Bible or the actors within the Bible, when you hear people talk about Jesus as a person walking on the earth, or the Christ, or the various ascended entities, the angels, and so on. When you hear someone channel, when you hear someone, whatever. When you read something, you hear something, you talk about it, etc. It's tempting to think that someone else is an authority, and some people are. Some people are experts in certain areas, and they do have a great deal of knowledge and information that they can share. That's fine. And I encourage people to seek such authorities, experts, if you will. Don't think of them as authorities, think of them as experts. But never give up your own sense of rightness just because someone is an expert, if they are indeed. Some people say they're experts and they're not. Some people claim they're channeling Jesus and they're not. So you need to learn to listen to that inner truth meter and apply maybe a filter that says, okay, I heard an hour of talk on Jesus, and about 45 minutes were right on, and 15 minutes I'm throwing right out the door. Or 1 minute was right on, and 59 minutes I'm throwing right out the door. It's okay. Anywhere on that range. But it's you who are the authority. They may be an expert. You're the authority. So I am encouraging you, even as you listen to what I have to say through this channel, that, well, I'd like to say I'm the authority too, but really, the truth for you is in your heart, not mine. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I like the little noises you make there. It's encouraging.
I'll do what I can do for you.
So having said that, and understanding that it is, one more thing I will say, and that is that whenever anyone channels or speaks with an entity, the junction between those two is a unique translation, because the medium, if you will, brings to the message his or her own knowledge, information, energy as a person, awareness, lessons learned in their vast arena of their many lifetimes, and so on. Now, what that means is two things. It means that anyone who has the inclination can speak to me directly. But the messages you might bring through and how you translate them or how you bring them through might be a little to greatly different depending on your interests, your filters, etc. So bear in mind that this message itself, in a sense, the medium is the message. We like saying that. We laugh. What's that? Oh, Marshall McLuhan's been forgotten. Okay, so. It's so true, though, in so many ways. And therefore, again, apply your own sense of rightness. Now, one of the reasons why that individuality exists is because you are all individuals and you each have your own preferences. And so some of you will enjoy hearing a message as presented by one person, but not as presented by another. It may be really the same message coming through, but with that unique focus that each person bringing it through gives. You could think of it as some people like gardening and some don't. Some people like certain kinds of music and some people like certain other kinds of music. And it's all okay. You're just expressing your sense of discernment to choose to listen to one person and not another. It's not to say that any of them are wrong or bad. It's kind of the rattlesnake experience again. If you prefer to have this kind of experience, then that's fine, or this kind of experience. So there's a lot to cover here. There's at least 2,000 years worth of information, misinformation, disinformation, anti-information, folklore, fantasy, fairy tales, etc. We like that. But there are core pieces of information that I can bring through fairly quickly. I've been working with a channel on this information for quite a long time. I've been giving her some of the information. She has been reading some of the information on her own psychically, if you will. She has been remembering some of the information from her own experiences in other lifetimes. The first one, which is probably not a surprise to many. No, I'm not going to give that one yet. The first one is that I was not some kind of wuss that just lay down in the dirt and let people trample me. That is a perversion of the concept of love as I prefer to think of it. Love is not loving when it allows unloving things to happen. If you choose to allow someone to behave unlovingly toward you because you think that that is loving toward them, it is not. If someone hits you once, maybe that's not a good example now, but back then it was actually fairly common. It could have been a mistake. It could have been an accident. It might have been a little bit of, a little too much alcohol on Friday night or whatever. You could forgive it and you wouldn't strike back. But you also wouldn't necessarily sit as close to them as you used to, at least not when they're in their cups. Would not be loving if they were in the habit of hitting people to sit next to them and let them hit you, thinking that somehow they will learn how not to hit, because what they're focusing on and what they're practicing is hitting. Much of what I had to say was either left out, misinterpreted, toned down, rewritten on the whole subject of what love truly is, because it does serve a certain religious element, shall we say, to encourage people to think that not defending themselves, for example, is holy, because that ripples on all the way out from personal experiences to community and political experiences, and it makes the people more easily manipulated, if you will, into by using fear. But I think at the core, people know that it isn't right to let themselves be hurt. And in a sense, you could say that just as it might be unethical for you to strike out, it is just as unethical to let someone strike out at you. Love, well, love is a complex subject in many ways, but essentially at the core, love is something that you know, that you feel. It's almost something that you can touch. In truth, you can't touch it. Touch yourself. You're touching love. But it's more robust. It's hardier. It goes armed, if you will, in a sense. than many people have been led to believe. And that was my message. Learning the nature of love can take many lifetimes, or it can take an instant. Learning who you are is, in a sense, learning about love. Learning what you like, learning what you don't like, learning what you prefer, what you don't prefer, what kinds of things you like to do, what kinds of people you like to be around. That's exploring the nature of love. And you might also say that, in a sense, information is love, because the more information you get about a person, for example, usually the more understanding you are and the more compassionate you can feel toward them. It still doesn't mean you let them hit you, you see. But it can mean that you don't hold in your heart feelings that you're not comfortable with toward that person. So that is one of the messages I wanted to bring through.